Finding the big picture after a few up and down days on Wall Street. For Marketplace New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. Let's try to take a look at what's happening beyond Wall Street in the larger economy. We can do that with David Kelly. He is Chief Global Strategist at J.P. Morgan Funds. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So we had this fairly quiet summer in the markets for the most part, but then Friday, one Fed official spooks traders about rates going up. Then Monday, another Fed official kind of unspooks them and markets go back up. You know, beyond the day in and day out of the markets, how's the U.S. economy doing, big picture?
Well, I think the U.S. economy is doing all right. I mean, the way I characterize the U.S. economy is it's basically a healthy tortoise rather than a sickly hare. It sort of ambles along slowly. It's really only capable of ambling along slowly. But we think the growth will pick up in the second half of the year to about 2% or 2.5% growth. I think unemployment is going to keep on falling, and it's already pretty low. So overall, I think the economy is doing okay. It's just not moving very quickly.
So there is economic growth in the U.S., but there's also growing concern about whether the gains in this economic growth are being shared equally. So where are we right now on this question of inequality?
It is a very unequal recovery. All boats are not being lifted at the same time. But it's not clear that low interest rates really help with that. In fact, low interest rates really help people who've got a lot of wealth. But wealth is actually distributed even less evenly across the country than income is. So in a way, higher interest rates would probably actually help narrow the income gap a little bit.
Okay, David Kelly at J.P. Morgan Funds. Thanks very much.
Anytime.
We've gotten used to three options for flying on major airlines: coach, business, and first class, but that's increasingly going away as big carriers further carve up the cabin in a bid to compete with ultra-low-cost carriers like Spirit. Delta has had five tiers of seating for a while now. United and American say they're working on new tiers of their own. Marketplace's Amy Scott explains why this is happening and how it'll impact your travel.
Buy a basic economy ticket on Delta, and you won't get a seat assignment until you've checked in, and you can't change or refund your ticket. To get those perks, you'll have to shell out for main cabin. Want extra legroom and free booze? There's Comfort Plus, and so on.
It's all about segmentation.
Henry Hardeveld is a travel industry analyst with Atmosphere Research Group.
How do you take a finite amount of real estate, the coach cabin, and the seats in it, and tailor those to what passengers want and will pay for?
But is all this choice good for flyers? Gary Leff writes the View from the Wing blog about airline travel.
Flying is a much more democratic experience than it's ever been and much more accessible to people.
On the other hand,
it is more annoying. You do have to pay bit by bit for many of the things that used to come bundled.
One consolation, the average airfare in the first half of the year was down 6% from a year ago. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
There are positive developments in the global economy right now, but potential changes and surprises always lurk. The source of the next possible crisis was one of the topics yesterday when Treasury Secretary Jack Lew sat down for a conversation with David Brancaccio at an event at Queens College in New York.
Now, I'm not sure there's economic data that underlies the following adage in financial markets, but it is said that a big financial crisis happens every 7 years. On average. How worried are you about something big happening soon? And are you most worried about the spark that might light it coming from abroad?
I can tell you that these last few months, we've gone through a number of pretty tense moments in global financial world. When Great Britain, the United Kingdom, voted to leave the European Union, there were a lot of concerns that that might spark a set of financial worries. I think what you saw was a number of very important things. First, there was very close coordination amongst central banks, amongst finance ministers, amongst financial institutions to make sure that in the days following the vote, no one had to worry about liquidity and the accelerant of fear was taken way down. I think that the major financial centers are in a better place across the board than they were before the crisis.
And certainly it's a global effort. You just were meeting with the group of 20 and your counterparts, but you must spend a lot of time, for instance, paying attention to China. A year ago, everybody on financial markets, and certainly in my line of work, I don't think there's a news story that we wrote that didn't have China in the headline. Their slower growth is something to pay attention to.
There are serious macroeconomic issues in China. They still have a pathway forward where they can have a soft landing. They know what they need to do. They've announced it in formal policies. The question, as in so many countries, is do they have the political will to implement the reforms that they've announced? I believe if they implement those reforms, China can have a soft landing and get to a place where it grows at a slower rate than it had been growing, but a stable and sustainable rate. If they don't make the reforms, if they don't shut down excess capacity, if they don't allow the market forces to be more forceful in driving the economy, they're going to get into a hole that they might not be able to get out of. But the jury is out. They know what they need to do.
That is Treasury Secretary Jack Lew in conversation with David Brancaccio at Queen's College yesterday. Lew also took questions from students, including on whether it's time for America to get rid of the penny.
The penny does cost more to produce than a penny. Most pennies end up in a jar or in a shoebox. But people are still very attached to getting exact change. It's a multi-year process if you were going to remove pennies from circulation. And I think that we have done a bunch of work that won't get completed in our time, but sits there and is ready to be picked up by somebody else. There's always more work to do.
It can be done. You just round to the nickel. Don't worry about it, folks. Apple, the Fed, and much more came up in that discussion. We've got video of the whole event at marketplace.org. For Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.